Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends. Representing all the different households and ages and seasons in their life in this room. We just thank you, God, that you made us unique. You made us fearlessly and wonderfully made. I thank you so much for who you are, because it's so much more than anything we are. God, I thank you that you are everything we need tonight.
We pray that we would search for you desperately. We pray that we would love you completely and come before you tonight humbly. God, we thank you so much for giving us everything you have in our lives, and we pray in the next few weeks we will learn how to use those things to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're starting a new book. Our book is by Dr. Caroline Leaf called The Gift in You, Discovering New Life Through Gifts Hidden in Your Mind. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm here with my co-host Tammy Saltz today, so it's both Tammys. We're the ones that don't sound as much the same, but have the same names.
True.
Debbie and I have different names, but sound exactly alike on the radio. So I'm really excited about this too, Tam, because next week or on the 18th of this month, I'll be starting my undergraduate work. And right now I'm having neurological things.
That's fine with it.
Neuroscience on the 19th of this month that has an interactive professor I'll be working with. So I'm excited to start that because I can have my textbook and then, of course, our life textbook.
So you can be my
Bible.
Topical solution for this because I was just saying the thing about this particular book, it's amazing, but I can't go to my topical solution on a lot of this.
Right.
And I'm like,
It is difficult to understand. So hopefully I'll be able to bring you in a little bit more of a medical aspect on it in a couple of my books from Eastern New Mexico University. So we're just going to delve right into this. If you have read chapters, my chapters at school are between 120 and 400 pages long. So these are very exciting, very, very, very short chapters.
You only have two page chapters.
You only have, I know. Well, I have the introduction too, though.
Another three pages.
So I will ask you. We're not gonna talk out loud about this one. This was a one-way or two-way with you and I conversation up here, unfortunately. But once we go off the air, I believe either Lisa or Darlene's going to be delving a little bit more, or Lisa is tonight in the study guide. So you're welcome to get on Amazon.com and purchase your own book. Unfortunately, I was not able to team with Caroline Leaf's ministry at this point to be able to get any kind of discount. So find your book. Bring it in.
Hi, nice to see you. And I would say just from reading and from reading this, if you can get only one, get the
study guide. Okay.
Because we're going to be talking about the chapters individually anyway,
and we're
at least
videos.
You can participate.
Yes. And there is videos.
So if you can only get one, please do get the study guide for you at home as well.
I do want to make one announcement, though, since we're kind of starting something new. And I am working with – I got to talk to Debbie about this, too, because she's the one that came up with the study, but – We have a guest. I saw that you had one time for a radio guest. And I met a gentleman whose son is a retired Navy SEAL, and him and his group of retired snipers have taken on the responsibility of getting hostages out of – I'm going to put this on mute for a second. They've been in Pakistan and Iran and Iraq – and two or three other places, and they've worked directly with people who have been affected by that organization, and they would like to call in and be our guest that night. She actually had one of her babies while she was over there. She went into labor and wasn't able to come back home.
We prayed for them.
Wonderful, wonderful ministry with just these families that are 100% volunteer that are going over there to help people fight for their Christian rights. So what is a gift? What do you have inside you that nobody else has? Understanding how our gifts are structured is just the beginning. We will learn in part two the gifts profile. It's going to be 210 questions, and it's a journey. It's going to help you get a better understanding of how you are uniquely gifted and how your gift is structured. So we're going to go over that before. In chapter 1, it says, Jeremiah 1:5, it says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. So we always think, you know, I remember, I think it was your grandson, Diane, that we saw a 3D ultrasound on.
Yes.
And it reminded me, and that was actually in the baby shower that we put on for her in the front, and we got to see the little tiny, tiny baby inside there, 3D, that we could see a face of, and it's so strange to see a face. And the first thing I said was, that baby looks like Bob Kortlever. When we first saw the, maybe because it was bald and chubby.
Yeah. No.
But
the thing I said is that looks like a moose.
He's in his glorified body now. So So we saw, you know, we got to see this little tiny baby 3D, and I thought, you know, it is so cool, and this verse came to me that God is knitting that child in his very form, and we got to see a 3D portion, which is not a normal flat, there's the baby, is that a boy or a girl, there's a stomach sticking out with it, you know, it's cord to it. It was pretty interesting to see that, and I'm thinking, we got just a little sneak peek of what God was doing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I'm on the ferry and there's somebody knitting something, I try to think, what are they knitting? You know, I don't know how to knit. I'm not much of a nitwit, but my mom can do all that kind of stuff, and I know that Mary can, a few in the room can, and it's interesting to see what someone is putting together, and I always have to hold myself back of saying, what are you making? What is that that you're making? And when they tell me, I will try to picture in my mind, but sometimes I can't. I mean, I get kind of mad if they just say, oh, just this little thing that sits on the table. Well, that doesn't look any different than what you're doing. I like when they say, oh, I'm making this great big reener neener, and I got to put these together and do this, and it's going to make this great big thing. And in my mind, I'm thinking, that's awesome. But in their mind, they already know what it's going to be like. They usually know where it's going to. It's usually a gift for somebody else. And this is what God did with all your mommies. No matter what your relationship is with or without those mommies, inside of them for you. How tremendous is that? Your gift could be the missing piece, and a lot of times, how many, without saying anything, just a hand or a raise of hands, would say, you know what some of your gifts are. Yeah. So people that know Layla, you would know that she has a gift of encouragement, correct?
Correct. Yes.
And one thing that I love about her, she's leaving us after tonight. She's going back to Arizona for a while, so I can brag on her a little bit, is I have never, in all the many years I've known her since I've been 11 or 12 years old, and except for a few years where she moved away for a while, she's been in my life, and so she has seen me change. But the way that I haven't seen her change, which I love the most about her, is there are so many things about Layla you don't know. Do you know why? Because when you're with her, she makes you feel special.
Yeah.
So I could say this or this or this, and besides knowing that she's Finnish, which some people think she's Norwegian, which is fine because that is better. No, I don't mean it's better. I mean it's different. But except for knowing because of the way she speaks that she's from another country initially, you would not know everything she's gone through. You know why? Because she doesn't live there. So she has the gift of encouraging you, mm-hmm. you, me. And isn't that a great gift to have? We all have that gift of encouragement. So as we are finding what our gifts are, let's remember the gifts that we all have. The other gift that we all have is we have the gift of knowing the gospel. We have the gift of being able to share the gospel. I met a girl today that has got to be one of the most negative women I have ever met in my entire life. And I had to really think before I said that out loud because no one will be listening to this that knows me today, know where I was. And I was at a business meeting, and she was so negative that when she left, literally the people around us went, I mean, she stole the energy right out of our souls. And you know what? I went to the dollar store and I bought this Enjoy the Journey in Life. Life is short. I bought this and I bought all these stickers. And like a sixth grade child, I sat in my car the rest of my lunch hour and I put all of these stickers and prayed for that woman.
Amen.
And this is my little book that every time I have to be with her, I will have right next to me. And I will be reminded that I have learned to enjoy the journey of life. And I'm so sorry she needs to get off at the next stop right now. But I have a journey to reach her. I have a journey. And a couple of the girls said, you met so-and-so today. Oh, I'm so sorry, Tammy. She would have chewed you up and spit you out. And I said, no, I'm going to be so nice to her. I'm going to be so kind to her. The best weapon you can have is to kill somebody with kindness. Because there is an emptiness inside of her heart, and I can see it. That's a gift that you have, too. In order to sustain a consistent outlook and pattern, your thoughts, your words, your spirit, and your action must line up. That means when you say something that your brain doesn't believe, if your statement isn't part of on your cellular level, it is unsustainable. You can eat donuts all day long and say you're skinny, and it's not going to work. You can say you're fat all day long and not eat donuts, and it's not going to work. The way that we put these feelings into words, into actions, into thinking, into going over and saying, I'm going to make this choice right now. We say it to our kids all the time. Life is full of choices. And what we decide right now to eat on our plate or not on our plate, what we decide right now to say or not to say, what we decide right now to go out of our comfort zone and do the right thing. I will tell you, and I posted something on Facebook yesterday that some of you read, and that is, when you feel like doing this, it does not mean it's the right thing to do. The devil isolates us. He wants to get us in a position where we're depressed and we're discouraged and we think we're the only one living inside of this world. And I will tell you, that is a big lie of the devil. A big lie. I'm saying get out. Get to girlfriends. Call somebody up that's going to pray with you or knock you into shape. Do what you need to do. That has been on my heart the past 2 days. I'm walking on the treadmill praying for people I don't know that are suffering this way. It is a lie of the devil to say stay away from church. It's a lie of the devil to say quit praying for your husband. He's never going to change. It's a lie of the devil to say that my child is always going to be far away from the Lord. That's a lie. You know what? You know what I started doing? I picked up that book that I told everybody to read, and I started walking on my treadmill last night. And I was saying, I'm discouraged because of this one person instead of looking at these other 30. And I said it out loud. God, help me to concentrate on these 30 women right now, not this one that's making the wrong choice. Help me to do that. And God, more than anything, help me not to join that woman. And so we have to make a conscious choice to know, as we're reading over this, that you may not have the same gift. I do not have the gift to play piano as my mother does. I do not have that gift. I can get along. I can get away with it as much as I need to in youth group. And you know what? I'm around people that support me and say, hey, she does a good job. Somebody else, better piano player, please take over. I do enough to handle it. I'm not as good as my mother at that. That's her gift. Thank God she found it. And not to be jealous of other people's gifts. Not to say, I wish I could do that, I wish I could do that. You are individual and unique. And there is a time that God has given you the time to shine in your life and use those gifts. Find them. You're going to find them in the next few weeks, and you know what? It's going to be exciting. You're going to make a conscious choice every day. And I will tell you, verbalize it. If you start getting down, how am I doing on time? Verbalize it. And know that you are going to have to get up and say, today I don't feel like being my best. Today I don't feel like serving my husband. Today I don't feel like doing that. And you know what? That's the day of your breakthrough. Why did I go off on that tangent? I don't know. Your turn.
It was necessary, apparently.
Yes.
Well, the cool thing is you don't have to find your gift because we, through this book of Dr. Carolyn Leaf, are going to help you find it, which is really exciting because, unlike a lot of you, I'm not sure what mine is, except for maybe having kids and grandkids, because I did that really well. But so basically, Carolyn Lee goes on to say, we are designed to seek definition, to seek category, to seek order from chaos, which is so true, especially as women. We like to categorize things. We like to have everything in its spot and everybody in its order. We like to have lists. We like to have everything just where it is. Electrical impulses pour into our brains from each of our 5 senses, sight, touch, taste, sound, and smell. Our brains have a very sophisticated system, using the electrical input and form thoughts and acts upon accordingly. To make order of this flood of incoming information. Well, she goes on in this chapter to explain that, and I found this very interesting, and I think you will as a paraeducator, that if we were able to, in the school system, actually tap into each child's gift, they would learn easier and better. And there was a study done many, many years ago that said that basically when you're in school as a young adolescent, 5, 7 years old, you've basically gotten to your peak in IQ, not meaning you've learned everything. But your IQ is peaked, and they do these IQ tests on these kids, and that number would follow them around all their lives. I'm glad I never did it. If I did, apparently it didn't affect me because I don't really know what it is. The point is she says she was in this educator meeting, and she had a teacher come up to her and said, no, I think you're wrong. Not everybody has a gift. I have a student that is absolutely stupid. And another gentleman walked up, and he said, no, he has a gift that you don't have. He can do something that you cannot do. And that's what this book's going to teach us. It's not necessarily going to say, well, you can do this, you can do that. What it's going to say is this is your forte. In fact, the test I'm actually going to run on my staff at work, and I'm going to use it in my office to help them better do their job. So I'm really excited about it. Well, one of the things that she was talking about is, for instance, my son, one of my sons, Trevor, was heavily dosed with Ritalin, is it?
Ritalin.
Yeah. Back in that time, he's my stepson, but he's my son. So back in that time, he lived with his real mom, and she had him heavily dosed on Ritalin because he was ADHD. Well, in this book, I was thinking, oh, my goodness, that's Trevor. He couldn't sit still for 30 seconds. I mean, he couldn't. He couldn't sit there for 30 seconds. He couldn't not be doing something like this, you know, rocking back and forth and moving around. Well, she says, you know, a lot of children are like that. And it does not mean that they're stupid. It does not mean that they're incapable of learning. If they could literally just have one of those ball chairs that they could move around with them from class to class, just that little bit of rocking motion would help them absorb that information with their makeup. So with their genetic makeup, which I thought was fascinating. And now that I'm doing this right now, I realize I do move a lot when I talk. I don't know. I may be kinesthetic. I can't pronounce these words. I'm going to tell you right now. You guys are going to have to read my mind.
Kinetic.
So anyways, so really exciting going through this. She goes on to say it's humbling trying to explain eternity with science. I thought it was really interesting that she is a scientist and she is a Christian. In fact, I think she's the only scientist I've ever been across.
That's amazing.
That is a believer in Christ, because science just doesn't, it has to have something to hold on to. It's much like a child in the sense that if I can't see it, I don't know what it is. I can't guess what you are. So it was really interesting reading her. She says it's very humbling to try to explain eternity with science, because science provides only a rudimentary explanation of an infinite concept. Consider the fact that God said that his thoughts are above our thoughts, Isaiah 55:9. That we are made in his own image, Genesis 1:26-27. And that we have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Meaning he has given each of us just a small glimpse of his thinking. That right there means that we are capable of many, many, many things that we have not even tapped into. So through this journey, we are going to find our gift or gifts.
Yeah.
One of the things that we will find is, the other thing, it's probably not what you think it is. It probably isn't. There is going to be something that you do, and maybe you've become accustomed to doing. She suggests doing the test both for work life and personal life, because you're two different people, not meaning you're a chameleon, but truly, there are things that I have to do at work that if it was in my household, it would be different. But, you know, you have to handle things a little differently at work because that's your job. So you do wear different hats, and you will find that you have different powers or different gifts at work than you do at home.
Sure.
So we're going to be excited to find those out. The other thing is, she goes on to say, there is not an expiration date on your potential. She has found, or actually scientists have found, that not only have you not reached your maximum IQ at 5-7 years old, but as we all know, you're continuing to learn. And I thought, when I read that, I thought, why would anybody as smart as a scientist think that? When, I don't care who you are, every time you do a new job, every time when you become a parent, when you become a wife or a husband, everything that you do for the first time, you have to learn how to do it. Is that implied that at 5-7 years old, you're as smart as you're going to get? Yeah, true, you haven't learned everything you need to learn, but how do you know? I mean, to say a 5-7-year-old has reached their maximum potential in IQ is ridiculous at best. So I thought, well, it's funny that it had to do another scientific little experiment to figure that one out, because I'm not Einstein, and I could have told you that 5 minutes ago. So she goes on to say that, you know, you're not only every day are we absorbing more information and learning information more, personally, as I read this and understood what she was talking about, our messages and how we absorb information, I feel that as an adult, you are much more likely to grasp and maintain information, not because you're an adult, but because as an adult, you can learn the way you want to. I mean, as a child, if you need to rock back and forth to learn, somebody's going to tell you to sit still and be quiet. As an adult, if you're rocking back and forth, you're just irritating somebody. But they're probably not going to say, sit still and be quiet. So you just have a lot more ability to absorb the information around you because you can do it the way that you were meant to do. So I was going to read, we can see this clearly in science too, the potential, and that there's no expiration date. As we understand more now than ever before about the neuroplasticity of the brain, there's a lot of weird words.
Neuroplasticity.
Yep, that's it. Yeah. Neuroplasticity. The ability the brain has to rewire itself. This proves that the networks in our brain can change. And we've all heard of stories or know people in our lives that have had a brain injury of some kind. And because of that brain injury, not because of a spinal cord injury, but because of a brain injury, they can't use their arm or their leg or something of that sort. And they, by miracle, are now able to use their arm or their leg. And why is that? The area is still damaged. The area is still dead because the brain has rewired and found a new route to do that. Now, you might have, you know, your arm might not go up the right way that it did before, but you can still use it. And it's because your brain is amazing. God gave us so much power just within our bodies, and we don't even know what it is. So exciting. It can change the change to compensate, proving that God is serious in the scripture when he tells us to renew our minds, Romans 12:2. Renewing our minds is a physical reality and a scientific fact. Unlike many conventional tests, the gift profile is a way to measure the structure of your gift. That's the test we'll be taking, I think, in chapter 10.
Pretty, yeah.
Your strengths instead of weaknesses. When you know your strengths and begin using them to receive information, your brain achieves efficiency and your non-dominant areas actually become stronger because you are no longer relying on your brain to compensate for receiving information that it doesn't work with, that doesn't work with how your brain was built. In fact, you don't even have a weaker area. You just have an area that is non-dominant. Which I like how she said that.
Yeah, I like that too.
This unique combination of dominance and non-dominance, and she will explain this in later chapters, up to the mid-20th century, much of our knowledge about the brain was a mixture of speculation and dogmatism, which makes sense, you know, because they thought that we stopped being smart at seven.
Right.
Let's see, there's one more thing I wanted to read real quick before we go off. Oh, that's chapter three, so no, I don't. So basically, this is going to be, it's going to get really in-depth, and I know that a lot of you may not be able to afford to get the book. I know it's expensive. And like I said, if you get nothing else, please get the study guide, because even the test is in here. I will type up the questions. The yes and no's are in here, and you can do the yes and no's, and I'll make sure that you have questions. Just please make sure you get this book. It will be difficult to follow along with us without at least the study guide.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office at 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe, and we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.